Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Oh, do I have delightful news. Today's episode is sponsored by our good friends at GhostBed.com. Go to GhostBed.com/Norton, promo code Norton, and you can get an extra 10% off GhostBed.com/Norton. Use the code Norton at checkout. Stop the presses! As he puts on his $8 CVS white trash glasses. A lot of dates on my tour coming up. This coming weekend, I'm going to be... Oh, no, I'm not. At the end of July, I'll be in Millvale, Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh market. Then I go to Baltimore, Dallas, Fort Worth, Charlotte, North Carolina, Duluth, Georgia, Columbia, South Carolina, Fargo, North Dakota, and I mentioned Asheville, North Carolina. It's in there too, but I forgot to say it. Fargo, Bakersfield, San Diego, Rochester, Denver, Batavia, Illinois, Portland, Oregon, Eugene, Oregon, Bend, Oregon, Huntington, New York, Newton, New Jersey, Herman, Maine. I don't know why I keep putting Bangor. And then wherever that Mansahawsetucket, wherever the Foxwoods is, that's where I'm going to be. And then December 20th, Boston, the Wilbur Theater. This will sell out, so get your tickets now. JimNorton.com/tour.
Jim Norton, can't save you. Jim Norton is a train wreck. Jim can't help you solve your own problems. Jim is an idiot.
I'm all wet.
Yeah, you really are.
Spilled a lot.
What happened?
I was just drinking.
And you spill water?
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah, my mouth was numb from my vape, so I was vaping.
Does that numb your mouth?
A little bit. I mean, it makes it like my mouth was so dry, I was kind of desperately chugging.
So what do you vape? Is it pot or is it like a nicotine?
Nicotine.
Oh, okay. Do you smoke? Are you trying to quit and it's hard?
No, I just started vaping.
You never smoked?
No.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I smoked for 17 years and quit in 2001. But vaping, I think, is just as fucked up for your lungs, right?
I don't think it's as bad, but it's not great.
Yeah, not as bad, right. And you're totally addicted to it.
Yeah, every day.
And how dry does your mouth get?
It gets pretty dry. I think from years of smoking weed, I just have like...
Oh, cotton mouth.
Yeah.
So do you always chew gum to keep it moist? I hate a good dry mouth. It's nothing worse.
I just drink a lot of water.
You do?
So, yeah, thank you for the water.
Delighted, Hans. Slap your ear. I didn't know that it would be such a necessity that you would spill it. I like that. Your mouth is so dry, you're like, oh, fucking Morven. It happens. But appreciate you coming, man. I think you're really funny. And I love the scene down here. I love the comics. You were really good. You guys are really, from watching you, from having started on Kill Tony... However long, what was that, 2 years, 3 years ago?
Three
years. And now you have like a big following and like people know you and I've saw you at the Garden. They love you. So it's great.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been an amazing experience. I mean, obviously, like I was doing open mics and stuff before. So it's a complete 180.
Are you on the road headlining now?
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
How does it feel to have like fans? Like they're actually, they give you a hard time. They give all of us a hard time, but like then they show up and they're like, yeah, we love you.
Yeah, it's like, it's good. I have to go out. Otherwise, it's just all Reddit. And
oh, well, that's such a, then it's just going to build your ego up. I mean, whenever I want to feel great about myself, I go online and read comments. It always makes me feel like, oh, they love me.
Yeah, it's always there. No matter where you go in the world, you can always read something shitty about you if you really want to.
Always. But it's better to read something shitty than to like search and have the worst thing that can happen is indifference.
Yeah.
Like if nobody cares enough about you to say anything good or bad, if they're just like, eh, that's the fucking worst thing that can happen.
Right.
So that's what I tell myself, because people said bad shit. So I'm like, well, at least they're talking about you. You know, that's how I sleep at night instead of realizing I'm finished. What do you have coming up? Like, by the time this airs, it'll probably be 2028. So where are you off to? Oh, thank you. Sorry. I always do AI roast jokes, and I forgot, and so my producer reminded me. So these were a little rough. I hate that Hans can see these, though, because we're doing them on the TV, because we're on IG Live, but I roast my guests. This is really great. Hans is proof that the American dream is real. You can go from a feature act on a couch ornament. You can go from a feature act to a couch ornament on Kill Tony. The only thing worse than that joke is my shit delivery. How am I doing stand-up for over 30 years, Hans? Hans, his crowd work is so awkward, even ChatGPT would say, bro, try again.
Oh, gosh. Whew. That one hurt.
I'm stunned by how bad. You were just talking about AI before and how it's like figuring out people are cheating. I'm stunned at how they miss what is funny about this. It's great.
Yeah, you can see where they're trying to go for.
Yeah, does that feel like it had like a little bit of teeth, or is that not quite good enough?
I feel like it's too self-referential. Like, you have to know that ChatGPT is bad at crowd work. Like, is it bad at crowd work? I think it'd be good.
I think it'd be good at listing facts. I think ChatGPT would be great as just like, you know, like kind of like your autistic friend who just lists things,
yeah,
like without any like inflection. You know, Hans is living every open micer's fantasy, getting famous for being friends with someone more famous. That's actually not that bad a line. That's actually, once in a while, they hit a really good one. We have some, you know, the format of this show, right? We chat, we laugh, we talk to people, we give advice that we're probably not qualified to give. But I don't know if you're a good advice giver or not.
Well, I'm Asian, so people take whatever I say with a grain of salt.
Oh, they do?
They think it's like a fortune cookie.
So it's kind of like bullshit, they think.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a girlfriend? Are you single?
I have a girlfriend, yes.
Okay, cool. What does she do?
She is in supply chain management. She takes meetings and sends emails all day.
All right. Does she like what you do?
Yeah. She likes comedy. She doesn't like that I am out all the time in bars and with strippers.
But well, strippers, why?
Kill Tony.
What a great fucking gig. Look, do you think I wanted that girl to sit on my face? But fucking Tony likes it.
It's part of the job. I'm on the clock. I can't say no.
If you knew how many times I've used that. I had a woman, a girlfriend found condoms in my fucking room. And there was like two missing. And it's like, you know, like, oh, well, you know, I have to joke about it. So I had to jerk off with a condom. It's like, come on. It's like the fucking cure-all. All right, we'll turn off IG Live. We'll go to the phones if we have any phone calls. Thanks a lot for watching. And yeah, I enjoy what you do. How did you like the garden?
Thank you. I enjoyed it a lot. Yeah, that was great. I hadn't been on for a while. So I had a couple jokes saved up. And they went all right. So it was great that I got to prepare for it instead of just doing one every week.
What did you guys did 5 minute or 1 minute sets, or did you do 5 minute sets?
1 minute.
That's hard to do, man.
Yeah.
1 minute is really hard to do.
Yeah, you can't like set a foundation and be like, hey, this is who I am, and then here's some more. You just gotta be like, hopefully you're on the same page right now.
It immediately come out. Joe, what was your first time on that show?
I did it first in LA in the belly room, like 2015 or something, and then 2021 is when I got on in Austin, like May, June of 2021.
Were you doing it regularly from 2015, or did you just did it once or twice?
I did it regularly starting 2021. So I only did it once in 2015, and then I started in 2021 doing it regularly.
What made you come back after like 6 years?
I was always a huge fan of the show. I'd watch every episode, and I was like, holy shit, they're in Austin. Let me drive. Because it was during the pandemic. I was living in a van, so I was like, I can be anywhere now. Let me just go to Austin, where they're actually doing things.
Isn't it crazy? You're living in a van, and now a couple of years later, you're fucking headlining. And you know what I mean? Like, isn't it crazy how fast that happened?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, Kill Tony actually got bigger as right when I got on. I'm not taking any credit.
Well, no, that doesn't sound like you're taking full credit. Well, you know, the show was tanking, and then I showed up.
Yeah, welcome.
All right, we got some callers. If you have any advice from Hans, Hans really is like a guy who's stuck with it. I think that's very, you know, it's great. You stuck with it, and you're fucking living in a van, and now you're doing great.
Thank you, Jim. It's an honor to be here.
I'm happy you're here. Hello, who's on the phone? You're talking to Hans and Jim.
Yeah, how's it going? My name's Tony. I'm from Indiana.
Hi.
I just want to know, how does it feel to be on top of the fucking world while Rick Diaz is over there being European?
Yeah, he's doing shows in foreign languages now.
Who is he asking about?
Rick Diaz is a guy that was a Golden Ticket winner, and then he decided to challenge me for no reason.
Yeah, he just started his beef out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, challenge you how?
Comedically.
Oh, what happened? Like, do you guys fight for a spot there? Is that what happened? Oh, okay. And you beat him.
I beat him twice.
Okay.
Very controversial.
Oh. Are you friends with him?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think it was slimy what he did.
It gets ugly down here. I had no idea.
It usually doesn't. That's why it was so weird.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the call, sir. And thank you for setting off this controversy. Now, I had no idea.
I get to look at his face again. He's like my Israel Adesanya and whatever his opponent
is. Alex Pereira. He's your nemesis. He's your Israel to Gaza. To Israel.
Oh, Gaza. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a conflict there. He's your Russia to Ukraine.
Yeah.
All right, hi. You're on the phone with Hans and Jim.
Hello?
Yes, you're on with us. How are you doing?
Oh, Jim, holy hell, I didn't think this would actually happen.
Of course it would, sir. It was meant to be. What's your name?
Hey, my name's Gavin.
Hi, Gavin. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, brother. Hey, I've been a big fan even since Yellow Discipline. I'm about to be 28, and I've been listening to you since I was a teen. My mother and all of her parenting wisdom put you on in the car when I was younger. And I've been a fan since.
Thank you, although your math doesn't work out. If you're 28 and you've been listening since you were a teen, that would be 15 years. Yellow Discipline came out in 2001.
Yeah, no, it came out, and I thought it was 2003, but she had the cassettes in the car.
You know what? You may be right. You know what? Fuck me. Fuck me and my no math doing ass. You know what? You might be right. Maybe it was 2003. It was 2003. The material's from around 2000, 2001, but we recorded it. All right, so go ahead, sir. Now that you've humiliated me in front of Hans and Mike, what's up?
No, man. That's not what I was about. I'm sorry, man.
No, I'm kidding.
My buddy's going to shit when I tell him this. I got to say, a lot of people, they don't recognize it, but the whole he stinks and I don't like him lives in my head rent-free every single fucking day of my life from Spider-Man.
Oh, good.
What was it like being on the set of that, man?
Honestly, it was uneventful. I didn't even get to meet Sam Raimi. I did it with Second Unit in Queens. And I just improv the line. They told me to improv something. I just, you know, I didn't even know I made it into the film until it came out. I had a listener. We were on the air at WNEW at that time in 2002, and a listener called in and said, "Hey, man, you made it into the movie," because he went and saw the movie. So I was just happy I made it in, and I cannot tell you how many checks I've gotten from this one stupid fucking line. Wow. Thousands of dollars.
No shit.
Because every time it gets sold somewhere, you know, SAG rules, you have to get paid, you have to get a little bit. So I probably made $5,000 or $6,000 from that one line, you know, which is not a lot of money, but, you know, for the same one line, yeah. So thank you, sir. I'm glad that am I overstating by saying I've changed your life?
I did one set of open mic comedy stand-up. I ate shit, and then I was like, I need to stick to my day job.
Okay. But,
I've really been a big fan for a long time.
Well, you should learn from Hans, then. A guy like Hans Kim, who literally was living in his van, did Kill Tony 6 years ago and then decided the pandemic to drive down. You can always pursue what you want to pursue.
Yeah. Unless you're not good at it.
That's a great point. Unless you stink, as I so artfully said many years ago. Yeah, maybe you just weren't meant to do it.
No, that's true.
All right, buddy. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Were you making headway at all, Hans, after you did it the first time in like 2015? Were you making headway?
A little bit in Seattle. I had like a bunch of gigs. I was like rising up. And then I went to New York and that kind of all stopped.
Oh, where'd you live in New York?
Long Island City in my van, right by the creek. I would just go to the creek every day.
Oh, wow. So did they know you were living in your van?
Yeah.
Where would you shower and stuff?
They have a bunch of gyms, like New York Fitness or whatever. Planet Fit. I don't go to Planet Fitness, but 24 hour wouldn't let me in there. But yeah, they have like a guest policy rule because I would always get the guest pass and I'd have like a 3 day New York Sports Club is where I would go a lot.
Wow. So you would have a guest pass and just go in and use the
showers.
Would you use the gym or no?
A little bit.
Where would you shit?
I would wait till I was in a restaurant or something. If wow. I had an emergency session once where I shit in a plastic bag in a parking lot right by the creek.
Did you really? Into a plastic bag?
Yeah.
Oh, you just couldn't hold it.
No, yeah.
That's great.
It's coming out runny.
Oh, good for you, man. I love hearing that. Living in a van, shitting into a bag.
I know. I wish dogs were that smart where they could shit in a bag, but you have to let them shit on the ground and then pick it up with the bag.
It's it would save us a whole that whole extra step. That's the worst part of the dog. If they could shit in the bag, I mean, life would be better. That's really funny that that's the life lesson you got from this van story. Well, I wish dogs could shit in a bag. I wish the dogs weren't so fucking dumb. How long did you do that for?
Four years.
Yeah, I have a question. Was it ever dangerous at night sleeping?
No, not at all. The most annoying thing was like suburban people in Long Island City being like, hey, I know you're living in your van. You're not allowed to do that. But that only happened once.
Ew, someone fucking called you out instead of trying to help you? Yeah. You know, technically, this is a zone violation. Shit. So how long were you in New York living in your van?
3 years and then 1 year on the road.
3 years?
Yeah.
Holy fuck. I was going to say like a month. So what, you couldn't get gigs in 3 years?
I mean, not really. I was just doing open mics. I was just, like, trying to write a lot. I wasn't like trying to make money or anything through comedy.
And you lived in your van, and then it just became your life.
Yeah, I just did it to like escape having to pay rent so that I could do comedy full time. And I could live close to where I wanted to be instead of Sunset. I was living in Sunset Park before.
So wait, would you ever meet girls or people at gigs and like want to hook up and you had to tell them where you lived?
Yeah, a couple times.
Did it work?
Yeah, I got laid a couple times. It wasn't like a regular thing, but I had like, you know, I'm like, I find one person and latch on kind of guy. So I found a couple people that lasted me a couple months.
Oh, did you stay at their place?
No. Their place was worse than living in a van. I was like, I don't want to be in your... I'd rather sleep in my van tonight.
Why? Were there roaches and stuff like that? Just gross?
Yeah, it was like a bunk bed, and it was like, yeah, gross. It's far away. I was like, yeah, I mean, living in some places in New York is worse than living in a van.
I love hearing that, though. Like, I love someone who fucking fought that hard and was like, fuck that, this is what I'm doing. And like, and then you see some of these lazy... entitled shit. Like they see you on Kill Tony, like, what, he just went on and did some open mics, and they don't see the years before of living in the van, shitting in a bag, banging some woman with even lower self-esteem who's willing to fucked in a van with a shit bag next to her head. God bless any girl who fucked you in the van. Standing ovation for that fucking good egg.
What a hero. Took one for the team.
God bless her. All right, phone call. You're on with Hans, Kim, and Jim Norton. Hello.
Hi, it's Autumn.
Hi, Autumn. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. So I don't really need advice. I kind of just want to hear like what you have to say about this. So I'm a newer comic. I've been doing it for a little less than a month. And I'm like in this limbo of feeling like I'm not good enough, but also like I'm better than everybody else. Like, do I even like the material that I'm writing? And it's just, like, kind of hard to find that faith to keep going.
Yeah.
Even though, like, I still do have an ego about it.
That's actually interesting. I think most of us... What do you think, Hans? Like, what, like that feeling of feeling like you're better than everybody, but you're not good. Like, that whole crazy thing that performers have.
I would... try not to like look at other people, more like try to do my best to my ability. But yeah, obviously you're gonna look around and try to like get better based on what other people are doing, but I feel like that's like not like the best headspace to be in.
Right. It's like, wait, what do they say, an egomaniac with an inferiority complex? And that's kind of what it is. It's like, I am the fucking best, but I'm totally worthless. I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah, you're a comedian. That sounds like a comedian.
Yeah, it's just crazy, a pendulum swinging. But yeah, I don't focus on what other people are doing. I have friends that are doing so much better than I will ever do. And I have friends who I've known for a long time, who should not only get out of the business, but they should consider ending their own lives. So it's like, you just be grateful for where you are and try not to focus on other people. You know what I mean? Like, you can't get caught up in the obsession of what other people are doing. You have to look at your own life, and that's how you avoid being distracted by that shit. And it is just bogs you down, right? It doesn't help you.
Yeah, if you enjoy talking in front of people, that's the only joy that you should get out of it. Anything else is like extra and not necessary.
Yeah, and what other people are doing is just great for them. I mean, you know, there's always going to be guys who are doing better than you, and there's plenty of people to look around that you can feel like, well, thank God I'm not that pile of garbage. Thank you, Autumn. Good luck. Keep doing gigs and tape yourself. That's the advice I give to every comic, even if they don't ask. Record yourself and then make sure you listen back to it.
Yeah.
You're on the phone. Whoever this is, you're very lucky to be speaking to two people very qualified to change your life. Hans and Jim are on the phone.
Hello?
Yes, I hear you. What's your name?
Hey, my name is Russ. How are you?
Hi, Russ. Welcome to the program. Thank you for calling.
Sure. I feel like I'm at a kind of crossroads. I kind of have a similar story to your last caller. Came to New York trying to do stand-up about 6 months ago. But I don't know, I too have this sort of shakiness of like, should I just bail, not just on New York, but the whole country. I spent a lot of time abroad recently, and I don't know, would you guys get the fuck out while the getting's good, or stick it out?
I mean, you'd ask Hans Kim that after what he went through?
Yeah, stick to it.
Did you ever think of quitting?
No, never.
That's why. Yeah, like you got to be, if you're in it and you're like, nothing is going to stop me from doing this, then don't let anything stop you from doing it. But if you're already after 6 months going like, maybe I should get out, then that's okay. Maybe you tried it and it's just not for you as a life.
I mean, it's not that. I've only really started stand up like a month ago, so I am, that is why I'm here essentially. But I more is America as a whole like a flaming pile of garbage I should try to ship off of?
No, where are you gonna go? Where do you want to go?
Yeah, you can't escape. If we're going down, we're taking the rest of the world down with us.
100%. Well, yeah, do you think we're going down alone? Great point. It's not going to happen.
We're going to find where you went and make sure that country goes down too.
Yeah, somebody will quote-unquote trip and hit the button. Trust me, sir. If we go down, you're finished anyway. Wouldn't you rather go down with the Titanic? You don't want to be on some shit buoy fucking collapsing and drowning.
You're going to be on a door in Haiti.
Yeah, and don't let yourself... All right, that's an excuse, too. the whole country's going to pot. Who cares?
Yeah.
That's a great time to be doing stand-up. You can point out everything that's wrong.
Yeah, it's perfect for stand-up. That's what stand-up is designed for, almost.
Yeah, don't just quit and just leave and then tell yourself it's for the better good or the greater good. If you want to quit, quit. But, you know, again, what did you think of that Van Life movie? Did you see that with Frances McDormand?
Oh, yeah, where she's, like, working at Amazon?
Nomadland, yeah. I didn't like the movie at all. I thought it sucked. But, I mean, it was interesting to watch, but I just thought it was a pointless, dull movie.
Yeah, it was, like, artistic, and, like, look how good she is at acting. But there wasn't a really good story.
Yeah, I didn't care. Like, I didn't give a fuck she was in her van at all.
Yeah, so I ignore what? These people every day.
Yeah, I didn't feel anything for it. Yeah, living in the converted van's photos. Oh, van life content. AI overview. I wish Google would stop with the AI overview because they give you something that you think was written by a person, and then halfway through it, I'm like, this is not what I was looking for. I know what van life is. But you did experience this.
Yeah, the van life.
Yeah. Was your van nice or was it
no,
terrible?
No, it wasn't as bad. It wasn't as good as this, but it wasn't as bad as just like a bare walls and shit.
What did you have in the van? Like, you know, you got your seat, the two seats. What's behind that?
So it's a little kitchenette right here, a little countertop I found in Staten Island for free.
And where'd you find it?
On Craigslist.
Oh, okay. You got it. And how big was it and how did you power it in the van?
It was like that big. It was just a sink and it had like a hose and it had like a foot pump.
Okay.
So I could wash my hands. And then I had a leisure battery. That's not part of the car batteries that would power my lights and I could charge my phone through it.
How'd you power the leisure battery through the car?
I had solar panels.
They work?
Yeah, sometimes.
So how long would it take? What if it was cloudy?
Then it wouldn't work as well. It also works if I run the car, but usually it was fine.
So the solar panels, you would, how long would it take you to power your leisure battery?
Probably like 5 hours, 4 hours of good sunlight.
Okay. All right, that's not crazy. Oh, but you needed good sunlight. It was like legitimately had. I never thought solar panels worked. Like, I know that they, I'm assuming they do because people use them, but I was never had faith that that would do anything.
Yeah, I mean, we have such amazing, like, we have a dam, and then you're going to replace that with a solar panel. It just doesn't seem like it intuitively worked.
No, it seems like a shit proposition. So would you have to drive around and find where the, and get out of the shade?
Not really, no. I would just stay there. I found a good spot in Long Island City where they don't have street sweeping, so okay. I could just stay there all week.
And so you would sleep, but what do you do in the summer when it's fucking, you know, 75 degrees at night? And like, were you just sweating or keeping your car on?
Oh, my God. One time I got heat stroke, and I didn't know what was wrong with me. And then I put an ice bag on my head, and then my whole body just felt instantly better. My head, my brain was too hot.
Really?
Yeah.
So you... You have heat stroke in the van?
Yeah.
Why didn't you put the air on?
It was a shitty van. I had like a minivan first, and then I upgraded to a Sprinter van. But yeah, I just didn't want to run the engine either, but I should have. I don't know. Yeah, the van wasn't very effective.
But you had a van, you bought another van, but you didn't want to pay rent?
Yeah.
How much was the other van?
Like $12,000.
So you could have like literally just gotten a roommate. That's crazy, Hans. You could have fucking just gotten a roommate.
I know, but I lived in it for 3 years, so it's like $12,000 for 3 years.
I know, I guess so. Are you crazy with money? Like, are you like very OCD with money as far as like how much you spend or?
Not anymore.
Oh, you're not anymore. Okay.
Yeah. Now, there's weird things that I'll be like stingy about. Like I'll use garbage to clean my Roomba stuff. Like I won't like use a brush or like. There's like weird things, but like
what do you mean you'll use garbage? I don't know what you mean.
Like if something's dirty, I'll just go into the garbage and look for like some garbage to clean stuff with, just so I don't have to like ruin a mop or something.
But garbage to clean stuff with at times defeats the purpose. I don't know what that means. Cleaning with garbage with Hans Kim. That's the name of this fucking episode. What do you mean you'd clean?
Recycling, like a water bottle.
You would take a water bottle out and clean with it?
Yeah. I did that earlier today.
That might be the fucking craziest thing I've ever heard from anybody I've ever talked to. How does that work? Like you spray Windex on something and take a water bottle and just clean it?
It's like a dirty tray with like a lot of gunk in it. So I just use the water bottle to get the gunk off instead of using something like a paper towel that you have to get more of or like a sponge that you don't want to get dirty. It's like I just take something that's already garbage. And
so what kind of gunk? You'd have gunk on a dinner tray, say. So you've been eating something and it's spilled and then you've gone to bed, you've vaped and then all of a sudden you wake up and you realize there's gunk. You reach into the garbage and take out a used water bottle, which maybe you drank out of, maybe a friend did, and you scrape it against your dinner tray and get off the gunk. But then there's still gunk on it. You're not getting a perfectly clean tray by doing that.
No, it just helps to like get rid of most of it. So it's not just like you don't have a sponge full of like spaghetti or something. So just since it's going to be in the garbage anyways, I just use garbage to clean things that are super dirty or to get rid of like a bunch of dirt and gunk and stuff.
What else have you used garbage to clean?
I guess like spills, like if I spill something or like some like cat shit because I have two cats now or like some throw up, I'll just get some garbage instead of using paper towels or
what garbage would you use to clean up cat vomit? what garbage would you a bottle wouldn't work with that. What cleans up cat vomit effectively?
Maybe like paper. I would try to scrape it onto the paper and throw the whole thing away, or like the packaging thing that Amazon packages come in, because I have so much Amazon stuff all the time, so that's all everywhere, like cardboard boxes or something.
Are you a hoarder?
No,
okay,
not really.
Well, my wife orders a lot of Amazon shit, so I get it. Like, it's, it just comes in all day. And you have, like, you know, maybe a package from that. You're like, oh, the cat puked again. Let me scoop it up with the package. This way, when I clean it with paper toweling, I only use a couple of paper towels.
Yeah.
Wow. I get it. I get it. Don't let it trap you, though. That's a fucking tough OCD to fall into with like, money and, like, every dollar.
All right.
You're doing great, man. You don't want to clean up with garbage.
Yeah, that's
what I fucking love it. You ever reuse a condom?
I have before.
Have you really?
To clean up, like a kitchen glove, like a rubber glove. Just I could use that and then just bag it up, like, reverse it, turn it inside out.
Oh, you've used a kitchen glove twice. Are you kidding or no?
No, yeah.
Oh.
I haven't. No, but I'm just. You said the condom, like to clean
yeah.
or just for sex?
Whatever you'd use it for.
I
store
have
something
used
in.
It. I don't use it now.
Okay, yeah, good for you. Dump the load out and then put like gumballs in. I don't know what you put in a fucking condom.
Just come in Amazon packages.
All right. As you guys know, I complain a lot about sleep. Falling asleep is not always easy, and if your mattress sucks, it's even worse. This is where Ghostbed can help, and they do help. The team behind Ghostbed has over 20 years of experience building mattresses. They hold up night after night. Their Lux mattress, which is the one that I have, is their top seller for a reason. It's loaded with cooling materials, plus patented tech that kind of pulls the heat away from you so you stay cool all night. Because I always wake up hot, just stuck to the mattress like a little fat sweating slug. Very unattractive. Ghostbed is nice and cool. Every Ghostbed mattress features their exclusive Pro Core layer. This gives you added support to keep your back from killing you in the morning. Because even if you're cool, you don't want to just cave in like an immediate. You want to have some firmness. Not every mattress is going to be right for you, so you can take Ghostbed's quick mattress quiz. And they say quick because nobody likes a long mattress quiz. Hey, do you got 2 hours? We want to talk mattresses. Shut up. Answer a few simple questions, and you're going to get personalized recommendations from their new collection. Ghostbed doesn't just talk the talk. More than 60,000 customers have given a 5-star review. This is the final thing that convinces me this is really a great product. 60,000 5-star reviews. I don't care where it's made. I don't care what they put in it. I don't care if it's filled with human toes. As long as it keeps me cool. 60,000 people have given great 5-star reviews. Their mattresses are competitively priced up to 50% less than comparable brands. You get a 101-night sleep trial, fast and free shipping, and a 20 to 25-year warranty. If you need help, there's real humans in Florida that are going to answer the phone. They're probably going to be wearing shorts and flip-flops, but at least they're a real person, and at least they're a real person. How about you use singular or plural, you idiot? At night, I like to sleep on mattresses. Shut up, Jim. Ooh, Ghostbed. You can get extra 10% off at ghostbed.com/Norton. Use the promo code Norton at checkout. Ghostbed.com/Norton, promo code Norton. Thank you, Ghostbed. And I love the pillow, by the way, and I love your mattress.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
All right, you're on the phone. That's the craziest thing I've heard in a long time. I really needed to a moment with that. Yes, Hans Kim is my guest. The very interesting Hans Kim. He's taking off. Hold on right now. He's
sorry.
He can't hear you, sir. He's removing his hoodie. Yes, you're on.
Hi there. How's it going? I actually did one of the songs for your Swordfight podcast. It was you got a cock in your skirt, I got a cock in my pants.
Do you know, thank you for explaining, podcast with my wife, Swordfight. We were doing theme songs, and that, da-da-da in a sword fight. Yes, I remember that song very well. And when we went and started doing audio recently, we were looking at songs. And the only reason, we liked the one we chose, but we didn't choose yours because it was just, if you say something like that too early, YouTube fucks with you. Like in the first 10 seconds. I never realized for years that the Chip podcast, it was Chip's got a fucking pod. Like I didn't realize I was shooting myself in the foot by having that as my theme song on YouTube. But anyway, yes, I really liked he got a cock in your skirt, he's got a cock in his pants. It was very, very addicting. Got stuck in my head. So thank you for that.
What an artist.
Yeah, he was an artist.
I'm going to give a shout out to my community.
To who?
I want to give a shout out to my comedian friend, Brittany Brave. I don't know if you've heard of her. or if you know her.
Mike, my producer is shaking his head. Yes.
Okay. Also, I'm a musician, obviously, under Benjamin Card. I know stand-up's different than music, but I'm trying to, like, branch out into doing, like, different venues and kind of, like, sort of, like, small touring, like, locally sort of thing. Like, when you guys started out, like, how did that go for you guys? Like, to how important was it to start branching out to different venues?
Well, Hans,
that sort of thing?
Hans moved next to a Planned Parenthood so he could reach into the dumpster whenever he had a soda spill on his rug. Use a fetus to dab. Use a little arm to sop up that soda in the rug. What's your question, sir? I'm sorry. I was just too busy laughing at my own whimsical comment.
No,
what were you asking?
Just like, what advice would you give as far as like starting to tour and how to set up kind of like local touring type of thing, and how important was it for you guys to like branch out more and more? I'm sure like when you first started.
Well, I'm going to defer to Hans on that because he's just starting his touring like in the last couple of years, like kind of blowing up. So how are you handling this? And do you have an agent? Because for me, it was an agent.
Yeah, I have an agent, Adam Radler, IAG. Shout
I think
out.
I'm with IAG too.
Oh, nice.
Wait, IAG, they're based in New York. P. Papalardo.
Yeah, I send my checks to New York, but he's in LA. So I think they have like different, like it's like a real estate thing.
Oh, it's so funny. We're at the same. They used to be AGI.
Okay.
It was AGI. Before that, it was QBQ. I have been two of them merged together. This is all boring. I'll take this out. All right, so whatever. I think you and I went the same agent. This is what we've
crazy.
Just, here's what we've just cut because it was boring. Hans and I realized we're the same agent. And for some reason, I just started naming people and he looked at me like I was a fucking blithering idiot. And he was right.
All
right.
I mean, I don't know the structure of that. Well, I just know my guy. That's all. I don't know anyone above him or anything.
No, but you were right. I mean, I made an asshole. Who cares? I'm with this agency. Oh, cool. They have Fiji in the office. That's my favorite water.
It's like we're in the same frat.
Yeah, kind of. So how did you get your agent and how did you begin piecing together your tour?
He reached out to me. I don't even know how it happened at first. It just... You know, I just sort of said yes one day, and then it just sort of took off from there. But I was, like, touring on my own, you know, doing little gigs here and there. But then once I got with him, then I started, like, doing, like, fucking, you know, huge fucking stuff, like Heliums, like a weekend at a Helium. That was my dream as an open micer.
Just like, to be doing headline gigs, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it great when they show up and they all know you? And then it gets a little annoying because they'll yell references from, I'm sure, from Kill Tony or whatever. They yell, but you know that they're all there and they're all familiar with you.
Yeah. They're like, hey, you got your Rolex stolen by a hooker. I was like, yeah.
I had my glasses taken by a hooker. How funny is that? You really got the worst end of that.
I got my glasses back, that's sort of similar.
The police
helped me. Oh, my God.
How did she steal your Rolex? I'm sure you've told the story.
She drugged me.
You did? Now, okay. I talked to Anthony about this recently, about the rumor that strippers or whatever in Vegas will put a drug on their tit. Did she drug you through your drink or through her nipples or what?
It was through the drink, I think. Yeah, they tested the drink. The cops got a hold of the drink and they tested it. There was benzodiazepine.
I forget the drug it is.
Xanax or something?
It's one of those, yeah. But it's there's a name for it. But I'm very tired today. That's what you do with it, I would imagine. but what the fuck is it called? GHB? Okay, yeah. But it is... Oh, is that Rohypnol? Oh, Riffies. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, whatever it is. They found it in the drink. Did they ever find her?
Yeah, she's in the court process. I don't really know what's going on.
When was this?
This was May or April of last year.
Oh, this just happened. Tell me where you were.
In my house. I met her at the Vulcan. Took her back to my house, had sex with her, and then she drugged me and stole my money, $20,000, $15,000.
You just live with cash in the house?
Yeah, I did.
No more, right?
No.
Oh, my God. Did you get any of it back?
No.
Not the watch either?
No.
What'd you do with it?
I have no idea. I saw her at a bar last week.
What'd you say to her?
I kind of got confrontational, and I regret it.
Why do you regret it?
Just because I made a big scene and, like, I was kind of mean to her.
So why do you regret it? She drugged you and robbed you.
I know, but like everyone around me was like, dude, that was not chill. And I was like, dude, she drugged me and robbed me. Like, I don't give a fuck about how she feels.
I know. What kind of awful friends do you have that are like, hey, man, why don't you simmer down? Holy fuck. What's wrong with people?
I think they just didn't want me to get in trouble.
But she is in the court process now.
Yeah. I know her real name.
How did she respond when you confronted her?
She said it wasn't me. You're thinking of some other black girl.
Okay.
But it was her.
Instead of just saying like, yeah, we hooked up and I never took your... Because that would have been more believable to say, I didn't take your shit. Instead of it wasn't me, is almost like you and I both know it was me, but in front of these people, I'm going to say it wasn't.
Yeah. And she was like really aggressive about it.
They can always check a cell phone, pings of a cell phone. There's so many ways to catch people doing stuff now. Like, you know what I mean? They know where you are at a certain time by the way your phone pings. So, well, good for you that you're pursuing it and you're pressing charges. Press full charges. Never let her off.
Yeah.
That's fucking terrible. Yeah, she robbed you. How was the sex?
It was, you know, it was good.
How did she drug you, though? Like, how did she get you a drink in your house?
I ordered Thai food to my house. I was hungry. I was like, let me wind down. I ordered Thai food. And then she was like, can you get me a spoon? I was like, sure. And then I think that's when she drugged me.
She put it in your food?
Yeah.
When you went and got her the spoon.
Yeah.
She drugged your food or your drink. Oh, man, that's fucked up. Yeah, I guess. I mean, you don't always think, too. Like, you just had sex and she's a cool girl. You don't think someone's going to drug me while I'm going to get them a spoon.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so weird because she just took a giant shit in my bathroom right before it. I thought we were on like vulnerable. I thought we were being vulnerable with each other.
I'll be honest. She's winning me over. How did you know it was a big log?
My bathroom. She didn't close the door, and it's like right by my room, and she was just shitting her brains out.
Was it like a loud, awful shit?
No, it was like silent, but like smelly.
Oh, that's the worst. So she left the door open. That's so she, you could, was, did she have possessions in the other room? That's probably so you couldn't take her shit. Seriously, like that's so you couldn't rob her stuff. People keep their door open or they shower with the door open or they bring their pants into the bathroom. So they know she knows you're not going through her stuff or drugging her or, you know, fucking with her.
Yeah.
That's a real mistrusting way to live.
Shitting with the door open.
Yeah. Did you ask her, like, why is the door open?
I think she just didn't know how to use it because there's a sliding door. So I think she was just drunk and she said the whiskey made her stomach feel bad.
Wow. So she had to go take a nice whiskey Thai food shit in your bathroom with the door open. How drunk are you? But you can't figure out how to close the bathroom door. Hey, there's no handle. Slide it. Oh, I was too fucked up. I didn't realize that. Good for you. You got laid. She took a big dump. All right. It didn't end well, but it was going great up till that point. That was a great date up till that point. Yeah. Do you wear a condom?
No.
Ah, I love you. That's a perfect date. You fucked a hooker with no rubber. She takes a rotten shit in your bathroom. You're about to eat Thai food. Holy, you are literally living the life, my friend.
I thought I was.
You were. This is exactly what I would want for my life. God damn it. If I get divorced, that's exactly what I would do, except to leave my stuff in there so she could drug and rob me $25,000.
Oh, shit. I didn't even think about that. I was like, the food is there. Who would do anything to food? But apparently food is like another set of balls that you have to look out for. It's another point of entry into
your
body.
It sure is. Also, you could have been killed. I could kill somebody. That's a crazy risk for her to take. Where did you have your money that she actually went and found it?
In the drawer.
Oh, right there. So she probably just looked through the drawers for 10 minutes and then got the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
The sex was good, you said?
Yeah, it was good. I wouldn't say it was bad.
And now you met her. Did she approach you or did you approach her?
I approached her.
Okay. So she was just on the prowl probably and you came up? Or maybe she had that stuff just in case?
I think she's friends with someone that I know. And
really?
She was hanging out, and then she was playing pool, and I was like, hey, do I know you? And she's like, yeah, you got your watch stolen, right? I was like, why was that the first thing? Like, if I go up to a random black girl, they're not going to know about that.
Wait a minute. You saw her after and said that?
Yeah.
Oh, you weren't sure if it was her?
Yeah.
So you said, hey, how are you? And she said, you got your watch stolen?
Yeah.
That's arguably the worst criminal slip-up I've ever heard of.
I know.
Hey, how are you doing? Hey, you don't know what time it is right now, do you? Because your watch was stolen? What a fucking idiot. No, I meant the first time you met her. She didn't say that. She didn't say, hi, what's your name? Hans. Oh, you're about to get your watch stolen. And you still fucked her. I'd be my idol if you did that.
I only had time travel. That would be great if she did say that. I could have avoided a lot of this nonsense.
Sure, you could have avoided the whole thing. So she said to you, you got your watch stolen.
Yeah.
Instead of her just going like, no, I'm not, I never met you.
Yeah. She just opened up. I think she wanted to connect with me again. I think maybe she doesn't feel bad about what she did. So she thinks, oh, well, he obviously doesn't feel bad either. I don't know what's going on.
You think she wants to rob you again?
I think... Yeah, ideally, in her perfect world, she just finds a victim and just sinks her claws into them.
Keeps fucking him. Now, you didn't have your girlfriend at this point.
No, not before, not the first time. The second, when I met her again, that's I had a girlfriend.
But then when you first fucked her without a bag and she took a loud, huge shit.
No, we weren't in a relationship then.
Ah, that should be a movie. Greatest first date ever. That was a great date. Who's on the phone? Anybody want to have advice about... anything. That just was a great... I'm so happy you told me that.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the phone with Jim Norton and his new idol, Hans Kim.
What's up? This is Russ from Long Island.
Hey, Russ.
Which I love saying.
Thank you for calling.
I had a question. Oh, yeah, no problem. I've fucking been watching you forever, like from your neighbor's house. Kidding. Bad, stupid, okay.
It was cute. Don't let anybody dissuade you. You had a little cute quip. Welcome. Go ahead.
So, I've been doing stand-up for maybe like 3-ish years, whatever, and the first time I did it, it just happened to be that I just did it in deadpan. And I stuck with it, and I love it, and it works. Two of my close friends, who are also comedians, are like, dude, just be yourself, blah, 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 blah. And, like, I can be funny like that, but honestly, like, I just love the deadpan thing. Like, I do a lot of one-liners, and it's just, some of them wouldn't, point being is help me.
I know what you're saying. You feel like something had worked for you, and now you maybe have outgrown it. I was a high-energy little filthy hack when I started, like, just... And I look it back and I go, yeah. How do you feel about what you're doing? Maybe you still want to do it, right? Do you like doing it?
I love it. And I mean, the thing is, it works 100% at like, I mean, this is a rare occasion I get this, but like a crowd of like 200-300 people, like it murders. At the smaller venues, it's hit or miss. So it would be nice to, I don't know, I'm thinking about maybe mixing it with higher energy shit and kind of going back and forth like a weirdo.
Well, can you give me one of your jokes in the stand-up delivery? Because I'll say this, we don't know you, we can't see you, I don't know your real name, Russ, I just, you know what I mean? So there's nothing revealing about it. But let me hear, I've had a chat with you now for a moment. Let's hear, but do it for real, the way you would do it on stage.
So I try to live every day like it's my last. So I've been sleeping in a hospice. Every morning I wake up, my roommates do not. It's, you know, funny.
I didn't hear the last line. I'm sorry. Every morning you wake up and...
Usually it's like every morning I wake up bright and early, my roommates do not.
Oh, all right. That's not a bad line. My roommates do not. What do you think? Like, how true to yourself do you feel on stage, Hans? Like, do you feel like, none of us are 100% ourselves because you're, you know, focused and it's like an exaggeration, but did you ever do something that was completely a departure from you?
I guess like on stage, people think I'm like a Trump supporter, but I'm really not. So I guess that's like a thing.
That's funny. Is it because you said you are, or is it the material style, or they just assume because of your certain way?
I just take on the persona of a Trump supporter just so I could, like, you know, make jokes about, you know, like Kamala Harris. Like, I, you know, like the jokes are there. So I'm like, it'd be better from the perspective of a Trump supporter. And I feel like the audience likes it better. Like, if I'm honest, like, hey, I'm like a far left socialist, they're not going to like be ready to hear a joke. But if I'm like, I support Trump, then it's like people are like more, I feel like it's better foundation to tell jokes on.
You know, I think as comics, I don't feel you're obligated at all to be honest with the audience. You can be, but you know what I mean? Like Steve Martin, when he was, he's a great stand-up, and he, when he was being a wild and crazy guy with an arrow through his head, that's not who he was all the time. You know what I mean? Like, you can be honest with the audience, but if you want to speak in a deadpan thing, that it is like a little bit like Stephen Wright, but I know Stephen, and if you've heard him talk in real life, that's how he talks. Like, Stephen is a very low-key guy. It all depends on how you feel about it. If you feel like it's a little limiting, then do that, because all that matters is how well the jokes are written, and the jokes seem to be good. It was a good joke.
He's a smart guy. He's trying to, like, you know, use his brain instead of, like, using, like, you know, tricks and stuff. So I think that's a great foundation, is you want to write smarter and smarter jokes. So, yeah.
Maybe mix it up a little bit. See how you like the combination, and then you'll eventually head in whichever direction feels right and feels better, okay?
Yeah, awesome.
Thanks, Russ. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot. All right, take care. Who's on the telephone for Hans and Jim?
Hello, Jim.
Hello, what's your name?
Mike. This is my third time calling in. I just want to let you know, congratulations on the podcast. It's getting harder and harder to connect on here with you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, when we put out a little notice, this app can hold a decent amount of calls. It crashed once when we had Anthony, I think. The app crashed. But I appreciate you calling in. What's going on, man?
That was the first one I got through you when Ant was on. I really do think this is going to be the new hot podcast, but it's just dope.
Thank you. I hope so. I mean, from your lips to God's ears. Caller, you're on. No,
I got a massage parlor question for you and Han.
Sure.
So recently I was at a lovely massage parlor getting my kinks worked out.
Good, good.
And coming towards the end of it, the lovely lady who unfortunately looked like Hans offered me some throat relief. I obliged her. I paid her her monies. And I'd never seen this before. And I like to say I'm a massage parlor veteran, 25 years in now. And she wrapped my penis in saran wrap like a cock meat sandwich before she blew me.
Wow.
Have you ever seen that move, James?
No, but I think Hans would be the guy of that, because she probably pulled it out of the garbage. That's literally, she probably ran out of condoms or didn't have a condom and wants to save money and use saran wrap. I have heard of that, but I think I tried it once to jerk off. I have heard of that before.
It would hurt if your penis changed sizes in any way.
You think?
Because it's clinging onto your skin on your penis, and then if it's like you're getting a fucking rug burn.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I tried one time. I tried tin foil. I didn't have any of that, so I used aluminum foil around my dick.
God.
That felt really good. It was metallic. Really? Yeah, and it did slice me open from the tip all the way back down to the Vaz Deverens. Yeah, no, a condom is probably the only way to go. So were you able to blow a load, sir?
I was.
What a trooper.
Out a little saran wrap.
Well, you preserve it. Put it in the fridge after you're done.
Save it, right? Why not? Give it to a girl. So go ahead, show daddy how much you love him.
I was just kidding. I'd never seen that move before. Jim, I know you got a lot of years into the massage parlor industry. I just kidding. You'd never seen that.
Yeah, no, I have, but it's very infrequent. Maybe once or twice in my life. And I jerked off like that. I don't know if I ever saw a girl do it or if I just heard of it. I honestly don't want to create a false memory, but I have put it on my dick to see if it was effective. I fucked a hollow banana one time. I was very young. I had read about it in a porno magazine. I was a virgin. A porno magazine. Do you know how old I sound? I remember when I was hosting the Porn Awards in 2003, and Colin said to me, "Hey, are you hosting the Erotic Awards?" I'm like, thanks, Nana. How fucking old are you? That's what I just did. The Porno Awards.
The Smut Magazine.
The Smut Magazine. Yeah, those Smut Awards. But I was a kid and I was probably 12, and I read some article, and the guy had taken a banana, hollowed it out, put duct tape around it, and filled it with warm water. And I tried to do that and fuck it. No, I didn't come. But again, I was young, 13, whatever I was stupid. And I read something that was probably not true in a magazine, and I tried it. All right. Thank you for the call, man. Godspeed. Hello, you're on the phone with Hans and Jim. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
I'm very good. How you doing? What's your name?
John.
Welcome, John. What's going on?
Your guest there is making me feel better and better every moment, so I appreciate it.
Hans is the fucking best. How is he making you feel better?
Because his miserable life is like making my life feel really good.
You know what? Whatever it takes. And like, look, if someone's fucks a hooker and she takes a giant shit and robs him, and that's what you need to feel better, sir. Well, God bless Hans for telling that story.
I'm glad I could provide a service for people.
Absolutely, and you do. Although for me, the service you provided is you made me want to get a hooker.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad you're.
I have a serious business question. I work with comedians, so I've started two advertising agencies, and I'm in digital marketing. And for the last 7 months, I've worked with comedians. And what I try to do is help them with marketing issues such as merchandise and AI and email marketing and stuff. And I've talked to a lot of comedians, but there just seems to be a blockage where they are not interested in that kind of
boring conversation
thing. Yeah, they just kind of glass over, you know, when I talk about that. I had a comedian that's going on a 50-city tour, and a well-known comedian, and I turned to him and I said, you know, dude, I can, just from the merchandise, I can make you $250,000 on a 50-city tour. And I'm dead serious. I could do that. And he just looked at me and said, nah.
Well, maybe he didn't believe you. Well, let me ask you a question. How could you make him or me?
I think they just can't be bothered. He just couldn't be bothered with it. And I was like,
it's possible.
I don't understand the surfer. I don't understand the story. Am I going to the wrong guys? I mean, should I go to the booker? I mean, should I go to the agent? Am I talking to the wrong guy?
No, because the bookers are the managers. I mean, don't forget, after the percentage the comic pays them and after the percentage that the venue takes, which is a lot. And some comics are just not good at that, like, business part of it. Like, a lot of guys are just the creative, and when it comes to the business, they're like, ah. And then you get a guy like Tom Segura, who probably would have sat down and talked percentages with you. Like a guy who understands every aspect of the business. Or even a guy like Bert, who seems like this big drunken lunatic, but understands the business end of it. There are guys who just get the business end better than other guys. So, yeah, I can't say you talk to the right or wrong people.
I saw Tom Segura's like sign all these posters, and I wanted to kiss him. Because I was like, he gets it.
That's why he does it.
Tom Segura, he gets it. I mean, I'm like, every time Tom Segura signs a poster, he must make like $500.
Here's the thing with Tom that's stupid. He pays people to take the posters. He's got the wrong business model. He'll sign them. He'll give somebody $20 if they take it. I told him, Tom, you're fucking up. You're not making the money. No, he's not making $500, but he probably makes $50 a poster. I would guess 50. Yeah, that's my answer. Are you good with the business end of it? Thank you for the call, buddy. Are you good with the business end of it?
I'm not. I don't like doing merch. I stopped doing merch. I just feel like it's too distracting for me. Like, I'm going to these gigs doing a weekend. I'm worried about what sizes of shirts I have.
Oh, you were bringing it with you. Why don't you sell it on a website and then just give people the website and they can just order. A lot of times, maybe you could give... Here's what you could do. You go to, like, a Shopify. You create the Hans Kim site. Have a bunch of shirts, and then you could say, hey, because this shit's an impulse buy. People just buy it. So then what you go is, all right, how about here's a discount code. You can set up a discount code. Say you're in San Antonio. If you enter the code San Antonio, you get 15% off your order. And that way they'll look at the phone on the way home and maybe do it and make some money. You don't
if
do
you're,
anything.
If you're there in person, it's easier to convince them to buy.
A lot of times it is an impulse buy, but if you get on the phones now, everything is so fucking quick. If you have a quick link from your site, you could get people to pretty much... get to the site pretty fast.
Yeah.
What were you selling?
T-shirts mostly. Yeah.
What did they say on them?
I had the Vans logo.
I need to come. Here's my watch.
Wipe yourself off with some garbage.
Yeah, here's some garbage.
And take my watch with you.
Take my watch, please. That's actually a funny shirt. Take my watch, please. What did your shirt say on them?
Vans logo with Hans on it. That's funny. Only Hans instead of only fans.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
Hans across America.
Yeah, it's all silly, but it's you. I think you should go back to selling them on Shopify, get a site. They do everything. You have to set it up and get a guy to set it up, but it's very, very easy.
Yeah.
And you can make some money on the side, and people can get your stuff because people like you. They want to buy it. They're not, you know, they're not doing you a favor. They like your shit.
No one's forced to buy it.
No.
It's a very, like a benevolent business. It's like no one. Yeah. It's like, especially because like after the show, some people just want to meet you and they feel like they have to buy a shirt now.
Yeah.
It's like, don't buy it if you're not going to wear it.
Spoken like a true left-wing socialist. That's a benevolent business. All right, let's go to maybe one of the last calls. You're on the phone with Jim and Hans. How are you?
Hey, it's Carlos Mencia. How are you?
Hi, Carlos.
Hello.
Although
I'm a big fan of Jim. I'm such a big fan of yours. And Hans, I am a huge fan of yours on Kill Tony. I love you on Kill Tony. Jim, I've been listening to you since the ONA days. I'm a huge fan. It's so good to be talking to you. How are you doing today?
I mean, my favorite thing in life is this. It's watching someone run out of steam.
Is that a Carlos Mencia quote? How are you today?
No, it's somebody who wasn't too sure what Carlos would actually say. So he's like, not knowing that Carlos would just, who I've done gigs with over the, it's been years, but he would just go, hey, remember we did the fucking PNC Art Center together? He wouldn't go, I've been a fan who's been listening to you. Thank you anyway, Carlos. Godspeed. Have a good
luck to
you. I
wonder who he stole that idea from.
One more call. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, man. What's going on?
Hey, I also work with comics. I sell merch. Mine are all hats. Just all hats.
All hats?
What do you think I should do to get in with just hats? Hats only.
You know, I'm a big...
What should I do to get in with...
with comedians? What's that noise? What are you fucking... What do you do with whale communications? Sounds like when dumb whales try to talk to each other. Stupid voices. Shut up.
Yeah, it's hats only for comics. What should I do to get in with comics and sell them with my hats?
I mean, whatever Lids did is a great business model. It works. I mean, people actually go into Lids and buy hats. So whatever their thing is, just get it. And again, comedians have no real business sense, so just put their names on it, and chances are they won't even sue you for it. Just begin selling them.
Okay.
Just begin selling a Bert Kreischer hat. Okay. What the fuck's he going to do about it?
And then last question. Can I curse?
Can you curse? Yeah, I just said, what the fuck's he going to do about it? You can curse, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Just don't say lips.
Okay. I was wondering if... what's Hans' advice on, like, what type of garbage is the best garbage to use after you chism on someone's tum-tum?
The best garbage, I would say an Amazon package, you know, one of those bags, you know, put your hand in the bag, wipe it off. It's like a glove.
A woman must love that when she's got your load on her belly and you're in the garbage and you come out with a fucking, like one of those like magazine mailers and you take your hand and you scoop the jizz off her. Oh, she must love it. Looks like a giant, like fucking, like an oven mitt, but it's a package. Good for you. Oh, you really make them regret it instantly, don't you? All right, thank you for the call, sir. There's a lot of background noise. We're both getting furious here. But I love that fucking Hans makes them regret it immediately. You're great. Now, what we've been trying to do, where are we at time-wise? Over an hour? Oh, okay. We always try to, Hans, come up with a catchphrase for this program. Mm-hmm. And I am not good at it, and we're trying to get someone to think of one. You seem like a catchphrase guy.
Yeah.
What would a catchphrase be? But before I do that, can I ask where you're going to be? Where can people get your stuff?
HansKim.org, DJ Hans Kim on social media. I'm on tour. I'm going to Canada tomorrow.
Oh, this will be way, you'll be back from Canada. Canada will probably be the 51st state by the time this airs.
I just checked the calendar. I'm everywhere. I'm doing Killers of Kill Tony, theater tours with the Kill Tony boys.
That's great.
Yeah. But a catchphrase I would say is, you're on the line. What's your garbage? There's maybe, how's your garbage? Or you got a watch? How's your watch?
Awesome. So fun. Then-
you so much for calling my show. The episode's over, it's time to go. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. I hope everything works out. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.